Shalom, saints. May the Lord bless you all. Shall we continue with our study? We go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. And we are still on the topic of the true bread. And we looked that bread is this bread. What is the bread scriptures symbolize? Bread is symbolizing the will of God. And where do we find that will of God? And the will of God is the word of God. So then we also looked at bread or food. We had a general definition of what it is and a specific modern definition of what bread is. But in the general sense, bread refers to food or sustenance. Now, since the word of God is bread, it's meaning it's food, which is basic necessities for a human being for life to be sustained. Food is very important. So if we read Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, a believer grows up by eating and eating the bread, and this bread is the word of God. And then when we read in the book of Peter, where Peter was coming up with that pyramidal structure of a stature of a perfect man, like I said, Brother Branham is the one who coined the term stature of a perfect man, and the example he gave was that the basics of what a person is supposed to do is to lay a foundation on faith. So faith was the foundation of a believer's needs. And then it is strengthened by feeding on the spiritual body, you know, by the bread which came down from heaven. Now, in psychology, there is also an example on how a human life is sustained, the needs that a human being wants. There's a American psychologist called Abraham Maslow. He came up with a motivational theory in psychology, which comprises of five tiers or five levels of the model of human needs. Now, according to Abraham Maslow, he said at the very bottom, the basics of what a human being needs are what we call physiological needs. These are needs which are crucial for the survival of a human being. And physiological needs include food, things like food, clothing, and shelter. Now, when a person's needs are met at this level, the next level becomes safety needs. He's concerned about his job security, his business, securing his business, securing means of survival. When these things are in place, the next level, the next part that a person is involved with, the next stage of these needs that a person is usually concerned with is the love and belonging needs, you know, which involve family, you know, societies and friendships, things like that. When these needs are met, a person now looks for esteem, their place in society, how people view them, what they think they are, and things like that. When all these things are met, finally, there's what they call self-actualization. This is where people have reached the pinnacle of this earthly life. They've amassed all the wealth. They've had a balanced life, and all they want now is to do something they really love, and they want to achieve it. So basically, the same can be typed in the spiritual. Now, let us look at the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord Jesus Christ depend on in this life? For him, for whatever he did, what was he really standing on or depending on for his day-to-day activities? Whatever movement the Lord Jesus Christ made, wherever the Lord Jesus Christ went, there was always somewhere that he was leaning. If we read Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So man shall not live by the physical bread alone, in other words, but by the spiritual one. Why? Why do you think it's so? Because man was first and originally created in the spirit. So man is created in the spirit, meaning this body is just a tabernacle, it's just a house. So even if this house is dissolved, we still have another house. So the most important part of a human being's life is the spiritual part. But sadly, the world, most people live, pay attention and give attention to the physical part of the body. Now, the Lord Jesus also talked about his bread, his food. He talked about what his meat was, what his food was. And most of the times the disciples would get confused because the Lord Jesus would not explain these things. If we read the book of John chapter 32, the book of John chapter 32, John chapter 4, verse 32. So John chapter 4, verse 32. But he said unto them, I have meat. Meat means food, or we can say bread. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already in harvest. So that is the meat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is telling us that his meat was to do the will of God. And now look at 35. What was that will of God? What was the heartbeat? What was the thing and the plan and the theme that was at the heart of the Lord? It was for us to go in the field. So brothers and sisters, the meat, the food, is for us to go in the field and to take the good tidings. That is the will of God. So we all have a duty to play. We all have a role to play. May we not sit as just nominal Christians, coming Sunday, coming in and coming out. We keep absorbing. You know, when we just come to church, hear the preacher, go back. The next Sunday is the same thing. We keep absorbing, and whatever we are absorbing, we are not letting it out. As long as we are not letting out what we are absorbing, it is not working in us. Because for that food to work in us, we have to work. So we need to be actively involved in outreach programs, reaching out to other people, you know. The will of God, like we've said, it is the word of God. And then everything else shall pass away, but not his words. That's what the Bible says. Not even little jot or tittle in the law shall pass away. Everything else is going to pass away. So ultimately, the good life that we live, the jobs that we have, the marriages we have, the food, the children, the career, the positions, the status in society, every other thing will come to an end. But there's still one thing that will not come to an end, and that's the word of God. And that is why we need to hold on to that thing which shall remain, because everything else is going to be burnt up. At the end of the day, everything else will be burnt up. But the word of God is going to stay forever. The word of God does not change. The world changes, times change, kingdoms change, empires change. But God's word is still the same. And the Lord said, I have exalted my name. I've exalted my word above my name. Which means the Lord is very much concerned about the word, which we are supposed to be concerned We need to be about our Father's business. So may we wake up. May we pull up our socks to do this work of the Lord. And I believe the Lord is going to bless us. Let us look at one incident when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. And, you know, his message must have really touched people. They've never heard a message like that. And one woman, she could not contain her joy, but she had to scream out. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So that is what was at the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ, for someone to hear the word. And after hearing that word, we keep that word, we treasure that word. Because brothers and sisters, that is the will of God. That is what the Lord wants us to do. So since the Lord wants us to do that work, he wants us to show commitment, he wants us to show dedication, may we put our hands on the plow. And sometimes don't listen to the voice of reason. You know, the voice, the clean voice of reason that keeps people away. You know, that keeps us away from doing the work of God. You know, the work of God is very simple and basic. So sometimes when we are so smart, when we are so reserved, when we are so concerned about our privacy, concerned about our career, concerned about our reputation, we won't do the work. I remember when we had the crusade in Chatama, I could see the word of God came with power, you know, and when the altar call was called, you know, there were a lot of smart church people, a lot of people who were singing in the choir. They had a lot of problems, a lot of these people. But when the altar call to give their life to Jesus Christ came, these people were so smart and reserved and organized, and they could sing. They had, you know, we could see all these things. But the people who were low in society, the forsaken, the poor, those who had nothing to live by, those are the ones who came forward. Those are the ones who came to give their lives to the Lord. Most of them, they just had that life. But the ones who were clean and polished up, they did not. So the opportunity passed them. But brothers and sisters, let us grab the opportunity. Let us not give the devil a chance. And the devil comes through the voice of reason. He will always reason. He will always give an excuse. He will always give us an excuse not to do what we ought to do. He'll give us fear to say, if you go forward to do this work, your job will suffer. Your career will suffer. You have no time. Your business will suffer. But brothers and sisters, there's nothing in this life that is done in the will of the Lord that we can trade the gospel with, that we can trade the Lord Jesus Christ with. Because the Bible says that at the end of the day, look at it. I mean, let's look at it this way. We like it or we don't. At the end of the day, everything else will come to an end, including our existence. It will no longer be there. Today we are here. Today we are active. We have programs. We have plans. Look at Ukraine. Look at what is happening in Ukraine. I believe before February this year, there were people in Ukraine who had businesses, who had plans, who had programs, but they did not expect. You know, sometimes there are these rhetorics. You know, the world can change in a day. Look at Ukraine. These people did not expect that bombs would land in their backyards. It's something that has not happened in 70 years. But all of a sudden, things changed. So this world is like that. We like it or we don't. We can try to do the best we can to secure what we have in this life, to put up the treasure. I'm not saying we should be carefree, careless people, not organized, not planning, not setting objectives, not planning for families. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is sometimes career and work appointments, these things can take up the work of God. In so much that the church starts suffering, in so much that we all don't care. There are programs, there are concerns, there are things that are needed in the house of the Lord that we need to put in our impact. But the appetite, the hunger, the senses are dulled. We've been beaten by that tsetse fly. But may we wake up, brothers and sisters, before it is too late, because the hour is moving, time is gone. We can't keep postponing activities, postponing the work of God. But we have to eat that bread. Just look at the COVID situation. We did not expect COVID. We reached at a time where we were at home. We couldn't even tell the days. We were tired of telling, because every day looked like every day. Everything else came to a standstill. And that was a scary thing. So, brothers and sisters, that is just a signal. That is just a cue. The Lord telling us that we cannot rely on this world. We cannot rely on our investments. We cannot rely on these physical things that sometimes trouble and bother us and worry us to death. But let us rise up and shine, because the word of God will not pass away. Everything else is coming to an end. So my encouragement to you, brothers and sisters, let us soldier on. Let us hold on to the cross of Christ. Let us hold on to the anchor. No matter how bad the ship is battered, the anchor holds. And may our faith holds in the storms of life. The Lord richly bless you, brothers and sisters. Shalom.